ice cream. But I don't have to have ice cream all the time. I love puppies, but I don't have to have a puppy all the time. You see, it's based upon, my love is based upon relationship. Love's crazy. If you grew up in the 80s, and those of you that grew up in the 80s, you know that the best music was in the 80s. How many of you are with me on that? A group come out, they sang a song, A Crazy Little Thing Called Love. Anybody remember that song? Anybody remember who wrote it? There you go. Somebody got it. Somebody grew up in the 80s. Crazy Little Thing Called Love. You see, we have a love for things. That's what mankind desires. We have a love for things. We desire relationship, but we can't always find love in that relationship. But you see, there's another love. That's what we feel here tonight. We feel a godly love. You see, we can seek after, we can chase after, we can cling to, desire, love at all sorts of levels. But you see, I think our desire for that kind of love, just seeking after love, is what connects us to our God. Perhaps maybe that is why humanity, we spend so much time trying to fill that void, looking for endless love that's never ending. We come to church sometimes, and even though we come to church and we know where that love is, sometimes we come to church to fill that void, and yet we're unable to fill that void. We look at it in relationships. We look at it in men or women, parties, education, a career, family, houses, cars, puppies, and ice cream, thinking that perhaps we can feel whole when we arrive at the place that we aim for. But see, the problem is we have this inside of us. There's like this hole that was designed to be filled by only one thing, and that is the love, the never-ending love, never-ending love of an almighty God. And it's though we're missing something that is inside us. It's our core. It's what makes us. Something that we so desperately want, to feel a love that's so pure and so deep, and without any other agendas, that would just say, I love you. I love you. And nothing else. It's a love that I think that it's deep within us. And I think that, I don't know how you feel, but I feel incomplete without it. There's this deep longing, a deepness from within us. It's so deep and so powerful. And at times, it's though you literally, physically ache. And this same kind of love, this depth of love, is what connects God to you and to I. The Bible says that God is love. He is love, but it's not some ordinary love. It's not ice cream twist, ice cream cone. It's not puppy love. It's not love of a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or I love that car, or I love that color. But it's a relationship love that says, I want to be with you because I've gotten to know you. It's an intimate type of love that only God can give. It's not because you were born to me as a parent or a child, and the love between a parent and child is a very deep love, but it's a I love you love. It's deeper. God's love is so deep that by the very act of creation, by God creating you and I, when he sat there or stood there in the garden, and there was this just dirt, and he took with his hands and he formed mankind. He formed Adam out of the dirt. But what made Adam so uniquely different is everything else that God created, he spoke it into existence. But Adam, he took a part of himself and he breathed in to Adam his breath, his life, and man became, didn't say man became a living creature, didn't say he became a living man, it said and he became a living soul. And the Lord God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And do that, we have become, and because of that, we have become a part of God. That part in us that sometimes aches and we try to fill, that's the love that God has for us. It's so deep because it originated from the heart of God himself. And God desires to express himself to us, not because of what we do, not because we praise him and because we worship him and we give adoration to him. It's not some kind of a ritual that we carry out. It's simply because we contain something that is within us that is a part of him. It's a part of him. And because of that, it's what causes him to never, ever, ever give up on us. It's what caused him to put on a robe and a body of flesh to come to this earth. The very earth that he created Adam out of the dust of. He came here to get all tangled up, to all messed up with this thing that we call life. He walked with us. He talked with us. He experienced rejection. No doubt as a young child, he had to do homework. He had to work. He knew what it was to go through the death of a father at a young age. He understood pain and suffering and agony and despair long before he ever went to the cross. Yet he laughed, he cried, and he grew hungry. But most of all, he experienced the betrayal, the creation that he so loved. I just can't imagine a love that would be so strong that he would allow himself to be beaten with a whip that had steel, had nails and glass and bone woven into the whip. He was beaten until his back was just bloody. And then they forced a crown of thorns on his head, and he was forced to carry his own instrument of death, his own cross, up to a hill. And as we celebrate Good Friday, sometimes I shake my head and I'm like, what is so good about Good Friday? But as we look into these events that led up to the final act of love upon his creation, the creation that sought to kill him, he spends his last moments, those moments of love, with 12 men that he had developed a relationship, a love relationship with over the last 3.5 years. We find Jesus and his disciples in the upper room in what we call the Last Supper. As we celebrated Palm Sunday last Sunday, and Brother Shane and Brother Phil did such a superb job speaking last week. Thank you so very much, brothers. The disciples were all giddy, perhaps, all happy because of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem of their Messiah. You see, they were looking at their moment had come, their moment of fame, their moment of glory, their moment of power. You see, they suffered 3.5 years of living with Jesus here and there and everywhere. He was their king. And while the disciples were arguing among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest of all in this new kingdom, what do we find God in the flesh? What do we find him doing? He gets a pitcher of water. He gets some towels. And in an act of humility, the King of glory, the King that breathed into man life, submits himself and bows like a servant and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. Peter, in his just being typical of Peter, he protested. He said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And he goes on to say, well, Lord, you know, if you're going to wash my feet, I might as well just strip naked here and you can just give me a bath. Jesus, he never wavered. He never wavered from his desire to show his disciples what true love was really all about. He was trying to show them what a love with no boundaries, no limits. I don't know that there's any proper or humanly way, perhaps, to really show what Jesus was trying to show his disciples there. But his love for them was so great. God subjected himself to something he should never have to experience. After all, he is God. He's always lived. He will always live. But he put himself in a human body and he gave his life willingly. I don't know that there's any way that we can express love any more than that. If you ever wonder just how much God cares for you, if he loves you and he wants to be with you, I want to tell you this. He does love you. Doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been through, how clean or how dirty. There's no greater love than the love of God for humanity, for you and I. And the events that took place on this day, this Good Friday, is proof, Brother Scott, of the ultimate love That's why we are drawn to this love that's deeper than any other expression of love. We're so drawn to it that we spend our whole lives trying to search for it. And many times, we never really find it the way God would want us and intend us to have it. And that expression of love was made on a day like today when God Himself gave us something that is so incredible. For no other reason than God was just desperate to have that love relationship that He lost. And He was prepared to do anything to get it back. Before His crucifixion, Jesus, the Last Supper, He was with His disciples and He showed them just what it was going to mean for Him to die for them. So as we go into this communion service, we read from Matthew 26. I'd like to start reading from there, chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it. And He gave it to the disciples and He said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And He took the cup and He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Notice He says, "Take this and eat it, for this is My body." Now understand, this wasn't His real body. But unbeknownst to them, within a few hours, it was going to be. His body was going to be taken out, beaten mercifully. He was going to be nailed to a cross. His body was going to be sacrificed for the sins for humanity. And He said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is My blood, which contains the covenant between God and His people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." It wasn't really His blood, but within a few hours, it would be. His blood was spilled out, and as He later hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, separated from God and humanity, He cried out, "Father, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're really doing. They don't have a clue. Forgive them. I don't know if I was in that position, if I could ever forgive." We like to say we could until it happens. Sometimes we struggle to forgive somebody that just sat in our pew. How can we forgive someone that, of that magnitude? You see, He stood there suspended between heaven and earth, separated from God. It's because of this, we live in death, and understand that death, as far as humanity goes, death is our reality. We live in a world of death. It's who we are. We're part of the problem. The solution had to come from outside of all of this. Every day we watch on TV or movies all of this stuff, and our marriages are breaking up, and there's hatred and racism and bitterness towards one another, and the rebellion of our youth, and how we mistreat our wives, and all of this. You see, the problem is mankind has become so entrenched in the problem that we could never, ever, ever provide a solution. But you see, the transaction was completed. The solution was finalized that day on the cross. Death was satisfied. You see, my death, your death, Jesus Christ died in our place. He didn't deserve it, but this unexplainable love that draws God to mankind caused him. And that day, he provided the solution. It's a love that says, my blood was poured out for you. I sacrificed my life to forgive the sins, to forgive your sins. I was sinless. I didn't deserve this, but I sacrificed this because I love you. Sometimes we treat this sacrifice as something that we deserve. But you see, it's not. Sometimes we take for granted that because we're baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, that we have favor with God and God loves us. But we didn't do anything to earn this. The realization should bring us to such a depth of appreciation. At church, I feel overwhelming in debt tonight because of the events that took place at Calvary. And as we celebrate communion this evening, one of the reasons that we celebrate this, we can look into 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 25. We celebrate this to remember. We celebrate this to remember. It says, do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me. We do this to remember. Remember that he died for you and he died for me. And remember that I owe him everything. And remember that he suffered for us and gave for me. And he showed the ultimate expression of love for me. We do this to rejoice, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Communion, it's a celebration of the Lord's Supper. It isn't just about remembering. There was a transaction, the payment for my sin, the payment for your sin, was paid in full that day. Jesus' death on the cross removed the penalty of sin and death. And his resurrection gave humanity a new life. In communion, we rejoice in both his death and his resurrection, and we make this proclamation until we hear that trumpet sound, and he comes back to take us all home. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. So, church, we need to repent. We need to repent. Communion is a time to examine ourselves, to cleanse our hearts, cleanse our souls because of an ongoing cancer, an infection called sin, and sin keeps us from moving to where God wants us to be. And the last point of communion is found in 1 Corinthians 11, 29. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. It's reconciling with one another. You see, we're part of one body. We're part of the body, part of the church of Jesus Christ. I'm no better than any of you here. And as we stand this evening at this table, everyone is equal. If we have resentment towards our brothers and our sisters, we need to take this opportunity tonight to resolve it, forgive it, forget it, and move on. And I would like to complete this service a little bit different than we've done communion in the past. I know there's a lot of people here. That's just something I've just been feeling in my heart. As we search our souls, and sometimes in life, church, we just struggle. We hear the story of Peter as he betrayed Jesus. And we say, Lord, I don't ever want to be like Peter and betray you, Lord. I'm never going to betray you. And we promise the Lord, we make promises to God. Lord, I'll never betray you. I'll never be like Judas. And we bargain with God and we say, Lord, I'll never commit that sin again. I'll never act in anger towards my wife. I'll never act in anger towards my children. I'll never act in anger again. Lord, I'll never lust with this again, Lord. And we make all kinds of promises to God. We live in our flesh. And we fall. We commit a sin, whatever it may be. And just as we remember promising the Lord that we'll never do this again, it's like we can hear that rooster crow. And a sick feeling comes over us because we promised God we wouldn't do this again. And we struggle. And as God just says tonight, and when he spoke to us, we go back to that moldy old bread over and over and over again. And God says, I've got a refrigerator full of the finest. But we go back. So what we're going to do tonight in this communion is we have our ushers, if they could come. We have a cross here. And we're going to take this cross and we're going to actually just lay it out here on the platform, flat down. And we've got some hammers up here we're going to put up here. And we got some nails, some pens, and some post-it notes. And before you take your communion tonight, I want you to spend a little bit of time. I know we typically end at 8:30. Don't rush this. Please don't rush this. Culver's can wait. Whatever it is that you're battling, maybe it's a frustration. It doesn't have to be a sin. Not everything we battle is a sin. Sometimes it's just insecurity. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe whatever. I don't know. I want you to write it down on that piece of paper. I want you to fold the paper in half. And I want you to nail it to this cross. Say, God, I'm leaving it right here. And when I walk out of here tonight, I am not going to take it with me. And then you can feel free to take your communion, return back to your seat in the privacy of your own space. You can feel free to take communion. You may say, well, Pastor, I really don't have any struggles. I'm thankful that he died for me. Put your name down on it. Nail your name to the cross as a remembrance of his sacrifice that he made for you. So to do this in a timely manner, maybe we should have this side over here if anyone would like to come up. You're not required to participate in this. If you'd like to come up and say, there's something I've been battling with, and I want to nail it to the cross, and I want to walk out of here tonight, and I don't want to take that with me. Feel free. We can take the hammers, the nails, and let's just lay it right up here, brother. Feel free to take it and say, I'm done with this, Lord. I'm tired of my struggles. And while our brothers and sisters come up and begin to search your own heart, you want to sit down and pray, spend a few more moments, and Brother Derek is going to sing. Thank you, Brother Derek, for tonight, Sister Vicky. Let's just spend the rest of this with the Lord.
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from a well? Jesus is calling. To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious.
Feel free to take communion after that. Just speed this up a little bit. As this side continues, we're going to have this side start over here, and you can come start with communion if you would like to do that. Okay? So we'll start if the brothers and sisters on this side can come and start with communion, and then we'll finish up over here and we'll just kind of rotate sides. Is that all right? Now everything around the cross is up there, so if you want to take whatever that is, nail it to the cross, just come right up straight on the platform, and then our ushers will get the communion here organized for the rest of the folks there.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
This section right here, if you'd like to take whatever it is you want to leave at the cross, feel free to go ahead and start working your way up.
Father's arms are open wide. altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior, isn't He one? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior.
Bow down before Him, for Thank you.
trust everyone had an opportunity. If I could have Brother Rick Solberg. You in here, Brother Rick? Just some muscle. Brother Mark, Roberto, if you're for, okay. I want this put back up in that stand here when Brother Derek is finished. How many remember that old song, "I Remember When My Burdens Rolled Away"? I had carried them for years, night and day. What we have to do tonight when we leave here is leave that there. We're going to leave this up over the weekend as a reminder, and we're going to build on this Sunday morning and Sunday night. We have our drama, the Resurrection Zone. Before we leave tonight, I would like, if you're involved in the drama in any way, music, singing, whatever it may be, could I just have you come up here, right in front up here? All of you that are involved in that. Do is we're gonna pray for these folks. They're gonna be preaching the message this weekend, Sunday AM and PM. I just want to say something. You say, well, you know, we're not gonna come Sunday PM because it's the same thing. Please come. Please support. We're gonna have folks that are gonna have family members that come to their homes in the afternoon and come to church Sunday night. We need to be here collectively as a body, supporting all of these that are involved in this in ministry, but also all of the souls that will be here. And let's all stand. I don't know how you just felt. I just felt something change in my spirit. We're going to pray for our cast here, I guess, our ministers that are going to be ministering to us. And then when we're finished with that, we're going to pray and we're going to thank the Lord for what He has done here tonight. No greater love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made, God. I thank you, Lord. I could never say enough, Lord. I could never do enough. But God, I pray, Lord, this weekend, as this Easter weekend unfolds, I pray, God, for our cast here, our ministers. Each one of these men and women are going to be ministering in a part. And I ask you, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost would flow through them, Lord, as they bring forth, God, this burden, Lord Jesus, God. I ask you, Lord, that the power of the Holy Ghost would be into this place, that your love would flow through this place. Lord, there will be people here that only go to church on Christmas and on Easter, Lord. And I pray, God, that your Spirit would flow. I feel such a powerful Spirit in this place tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost, the Shekinah glory of an almighty God, the love, Lord, that you have shown towards humanity would flow through this place. And I pray, God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the lives that are going to be changed, including my life, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, as we wrote whatever it is that we want to give up, Lord, that we don't want to take with us as baggage anymore. And we nailed it to this cross in symbolic gesture, Lord, and as a mental note, as a, something that we can put in our minds and that we take, Lord, that whatever it is. And I nailed it, Lord, and I'm going to leave it here tonight. I have no desire, Lord, to take it with me any further, God. You have much more for us. All of the burdens that we carry, Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord God, to allow them to just roll away. Lord, not to hinder us anymore, Lord. Remember, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We serve an awesome God. He's got an awesome body. There's so many awesome brothers and sisters here tonight, and I love every last one of you. So what we want to do just here in closing is just turn the lights back up and let's just greet one another, shake hands with one another, tell each other how much. Brothers, go to your brother, tell him how much you love him. And then go to Culver's and have some ice cream with him, okay? God bless you all. Thank you for coming out tonight and being patient with the length of the service. God bless you. We'll see you back here Sunday morning.